This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, we've got royalty on the show today. Steve Buckhantz joins us courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. He is doing the Altcast tonight with, of course, Phil Chenier of the Wizards group play NBA in-season tournament thing, whatever that is, against the Bulls. So check it out on the Monumental Sports Altcast. I will be doing that because Buck and Phil together is iconic in this town. But that's not where I want to start with you. You texted me about Seibert on Sunday, about the snap and the kick on the PAT. First of all, will you share with everybody your kicker credentials in terms of why you can speak expertly on the kicking game?
They're pretty low on the profile, Kevin, but I was a kicker in high school over here in Arlington at Washington Lee High School, which is now called Washington Liberty. And I placed kicked and I punted. But back in the day, as you know, everybody was a straight-on kicker. There was no such thing as a soccer-style kicker. So it was the kind of the Mark Mosley approach, and then it evolved, obviously, into, you know, Jan Stenerud and all of those guys that kicked soccer style. So I did that. Those are my credentials, Kevin.
So tell everybody what you thought about Seibert's day, specifically about the final PAT.
Well, I think as I looked at the thing as a whole, it was a combination of a lot of things that caused that kick. But what fans need to understand is it's not just the kicker who makes the kicks. It's the snap, it's the holder, and obviously it's the protection. But in this case, you know, listen, yes, you can get inside of a kicker's head. So if you miss a field goal and then you come back and you maybe miss an extra point, and keep in mind, extra points now are 33 yards. Back in the day, they were 10 yards, and then they became 20, and the NFL just said, you know, hey, we need
to
make this
harder.
Nobody
remembers them being 10 yards. Yeah. Nobody, well, I saw, they're just a few people remember the goalpost being at
the goal line. And I remember Tom Dempsey, who kicked for the Eagles, who originally held the record 63 yards, missed an extra point because he kicked it off the side of that little club foot that he had, and he missed one from 10 yards, which is hard to believe, but it happened. But at any rate,
if you go back and you check out box scores pre-1973 or 74 or whatever, when the goalposts moved back to the end zone, you would see field goals of 8 and 9 yards. Because if you got to the 1 yard line, 7 yards back was an 8 yard field goal.
Exactly. So there were a lot of factors, I think, Kevin, that went into this thing. First of all, he's coming in off a layoff, obviously. He missed, the previous two games. So
he's hurt.
There's that to think about. But as a kicker, and I wrote, this is what I texted you, 70% of the time when there's a bad snap, whether it's high or low, and in this instance, I think Tress Way did a really good job to pull that thing up off the ground and set it up with the laces facing away. 70% of the time, the kicker is still going to make that kick. But maybe 30% of the time, it definitely affects the approach and the kick and the timing. Timing is huge for a place kicker, and these guys practice that, obviously. And when that snap was low like that, it can throw you off. Now, like I said, especially on an extra point, which is 33 yards, which is still you know, you can miss that, which obviously happened. That snap and that hold needs to be really perfect, and they practice that all day long. And when it's not, it can affect you. It can get inside your head. Now, maybe his head was already a little messed up because he missed, and he's coming off of a layoff. But what I find this interesting, Kevin, is that here's the guy that came in his first game and made 7-for-7 field goals. This is the same guy. So he's good, but, you know, and he's, I think he's very good, but he had a bad day, and you can't put that kick all on him. The snap, first of all, was not good. So you got to put some of it on the snapper. The hold was really good by way, but clearly it affected the timing. And that's what I think fans need to understand is it's not just, hey, let's get the ball down and the guy kicks it. When that snap is low like that, as the kicker makes his approach, he wants everything to be perfect. And when it's not, sometimes it can really affect the kick. And I think that's what happened in this case.
What was your longest field goal at Washington and Lee?
I think 46 yards. My longest punt was 66 yards. I got a tremendous roll. It went all the way down to the one-yard line, and one of my guys downed it. But that was a lot of fun back then.
But still, a 46-yarder in 1958 is a long field goal. It's a long
Kevin,
kick.
I was three then. Thank you very much.
All right. You're back with Phil tonight on the Altcast for Wizards Bulls. How much do you miss calling the games on a night-in, night-out basis with Phil?
You know, this sounds a little like a cliche because I hear a lot of athletes say this and coaches and what have you, and even guys in our business. I miss the camaraderie, you know. I miss calling the games. The games are a lot of fun. I don't like the preparation. That's a lot. But the games are a blast to call. I've said this before. You could ask, Kevin, 100 sportscasters in our business what they really like to do, and 99 of them will tell you play-by-play. There's nothing better, and you've done some play-by-play. There's nothing better than that. And at this level, the NBA level, when you're standing on the court next to Michael Jordan or LeBron James or Kobe Bryant or whoever it happens to be, you got to pinch yourself. You know, I used to do it all the time. Sometimes I just stand there and go, I can't believe I'm here. And it was, you know, doing the play-by-play is a lot of fun, but it's really being with all of the people at the arena, the security people. Some of those people are my best friends, and the people in the organization, and, of course, the other broadcasters. It's a very small fraternity of broadcasters. You know, there's only 30 local TV play-by-play guys for, you know, in the NBA with each team, and we're all very good friends, and even the radio guys too, and there's those guys, so obviously Dave Johnson and Glenn Consor and those guys, and the guys that are doing the games now, you know, there's no competition between me and Phil and Chris Miller and Drew Gooden. Those guys are our closest friends. I mean, Chris obviously did sidelines with us for 12-13 years, and I did a lot of games with Drew, so and this Altcast is on the Monumental Sports Network, so we're all in this together. And I don't want to take anything away from Chris and Drew because I think they do a really good job. So for me, this is going to be a lot of fun because Phil and I, we talk all the time, we text all the time, we get together once a month and have dinner or whatever, and we reminisce, you know. And I think that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to tell some stories. You know, it's an Altcast. It's an alternative way to watch the game. Now, look, as a purist, Kevin, I would rather watch the game and listen to the play-by-play guys. But this is a different way of watching the game, just like the Manning cast. It's a way of exploring some other avenues about the game. We'll get into the game if it's close. We'll engage it and that thing. But I think tonight's going to be a lot about stories, you know, that Phil and I shared over the 20 years we did the games.
There's some that you won't be able to share.
Yes, there's some that we won't be able to share. Because, you know, they had an edict when we were back then, and just like the Las Vegas thing, and the edict was what happens on the team plane stays on the team plane. However, the statute of limitations is up on that, Kevin, so there are some things that I can talk about that I can tell.
Be careful, because some may be coming back your way, too. You know what I'd love to hear from Buck? Buck is the number one restaurant advisor, restaurant critic for any major city, certainly any NBA city in town, and you are that for our city as well. So you always enjoy food talk. I've got a question for you. We haven't talked about this.
Okay.
How much has Al Michaels lost his fastball?
You know, I think, look, he's one of the best play-by-play guys ever, in my opinion. Ever.
I agree.
And, excuse me, and I think he's still strong. But you can, listen, you can tell when you listen to a broadcaster when they're starting to age, and it's all about age, really, because you hear them start to very slightly slur their words just a little bit. Now, look, this happened with Jack Buck. It happened with Pat Summerall. As we get older, you tend to, you know, slur just a little bit. Or maybe you don't react quite as quickly as you would have when you were absolutely on top of the game. And I think that's what we're seeing from him. Now, I listened intently the other night when he did the game, and I guess it was Thursday night, and
the snow game.
You know, I thought he was pretty much on it. But the other thing, too, Kevin, is that back in the day when this used to happen, maybe when it happened to Jack Buck or whomever it was, even Costas, there was no social media, so you didn't really, didn't hone in on it. Now, everybody and their brother is coming out and saying, oh, he's lost it, he should be done, you should quit, this, that, and the other thing. You know, he should quit when he wants to quit because he deserves that. And, you know, maybe somebody will point it out to him or maybe he'll see it. But I think he's still good enough to be doing the games and he's good at it. But I understand what you're saying and it happens.
Who's
it happens
your favorite
as we get older.
Right now? Who's your favorite play-by-play? It can be any sport. Who's your absolute, he is the best there is right now?
Unequivocally, it's Ian Eagle.
How about his son?
Yeah, his son's good, but, you know, I mean, apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But right. Ian is the best at what he does. Not only is he so good at seeing everything that happens on the field, all the nuances, all the quirks, all the things. He obviously knows the rule. He knows how to call a game. He knows how to rise to the drama of a game. And obviously we're good friends because he calls the Nets. And he's a hysterically funny guy, really funny and a great guy. So all those things go into it for me. But when I watch him and listen to him do a game, and we text during games all the time, I think he's really, really good. Now, look, Jim Nance is as good as you're going to get, too. I mean, he's fantastic. But those guys, in terms of network, TV, play-by-play guys, would be my favorites. And, you know, back in the day, obviously, you had Summerall and Brookshire and all the guys that were at CBS that are long gone, but Ray Scott and Frank Lieber, and I'm going way back. But but those guys are the best. And I just think Ian is on top of it. He's really good. And Marv Albert, obviously, was legendary as well.
Well, Breen, who you know pretty well, is excellent.
Mike Breen is great. I should have mentioned him at the top as well. And
I
know
Tirico's
him well.
And he's great.
Tirico's fantastic. There's a lot of really good guys. Gus Johnson, obviously, who was my intern at Channel 5. You know, he's become very, very popular.
Yep.
And, you know, Van Pelt, I don't think he does a whole lot of play-by-play. He does some, I guess, but he was another one that was my intern at Channel 5. So
yes, he was.
It's a small business, Kevin. Obviously, you and Scott are very close, and all you guys were with us at Channel 5, and it's a very small business. Chick is doing a great job with his play-by-play now with CBS Sports Network, and but Breen is great. And listen, there isn't a classier dude in this business than Mike Breen. He is, I'm telling you, you know, some of these guys have it in their head and they get, you know, really pretentious and all of that. He's the most unpretentious guy I've ever met for being as big as he is. He is just a fantastic guy and a great, great play-by-play guy.
All right. Have fun tonight.
We're not talking any planes, Kevin. You're disappointing me.
No, we'll do plane crashes next time. I'm out of time now because or they'll crash this one. But we haven't had any good ones to talk about in a while.
No. We don't have to talk about crashes. We can talk about other plane stuff.
Well, we can just do morbid plane crash talk the next time you're on. But we'll let everybody enjoy the holiday week. I'll talk to you later. Enjoy tonight.
I will. Looking forward to being with Phil and J.P. Finley on the Altcast. Thanks, Kevin.
It'll be awesome. All right. Steve Buckhantz, everybody. Back tomorrow.